Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. At this time, we begin by praying together Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. Let us pray. O God, you make the mind of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading comes from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels, and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. In our small catechism reflection today, we focus on the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. What is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. The epistle comes from 1 Peter, chapter 2. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you,
Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ.
At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone and their minds just didn't get it? And so then, of course, what you do is you kind of backtrack a little bit and maybe you explain it in a little bit of a different kind of way. Or you know, maybe you explain it both frontward and backward. Or maybe what you do is you try to come up even more simpler and simpler terms to try to explain to somebody what you're actually comprehending in your mind that for whatever reason they are not comprehending in theirs. Whenever this happens to me, I honestly go from zero to frustrated very, very quickly. But none of us should really be all that surprised. It happens all the time. And in fact, we know very well that each of us is a unique human being. We all have different ways of understanding things. Our minds kind of connect things in different situations all the time. But nevertheless, when someone doesn't get it, I still get frustrated. Maybe you're the same. Well, in some ways, Jesus is dealing with this very same thing in our text for today. In verse 5 of our text, Thomas tells Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." In a certain way, this statement is absolutely absurd. Why wouldn't Thomas know? Jesus had literally just told him very plainly where he is going. He says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." You know, at first, maybe we can convince ourselves that Thomas is dull of hearing, or for one reason or another, he kind of zoned out and wasn't paying attention to Jesus' words for a minute, but we know that's not true. No, the problem with Thomas is that he just didn't comprehend. He just couldn't understand what Jesus was saying, even though Jesus was saying it so clearly. But this is how things work all the time. This is how things work with you and me. And in fact, all across Christendom. We should understand the words of the Bible. We should understand the words of the scriptures. We should understand Jesus' words very, very clearly. Why? Well, because he has spoken to us in very clear words. But we don't always understand, do we? Or maybe we think we understand, and the person next to us thinks we understand, and then we start to get into these struggles of who is right and who is wrong. We should be able to discern the message. But our minds are clouded. Our minds are clouded because we have enemies who fight against us. We have the influence of the world that is against us. We have the influence of Satan, who's so good at twisting God's word for us. And we have the influence of our own sinful mind. These three things are constantly trying to bring us to not understand, to be confused, to have clouded minds about what God's word says. And the truth is that a day of trouble is the perfect time for Satan and the world and our own sinful nature to try to override the very clear word of Scripture. There are so many things that can confuse us and mislead us, and our minds are easily clouded. And when that happens, what we have to do, what we need to set ourselves to do as Christians, is to turn back to what God's word actually says. What has Jesus told us? Jesus said, "I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you." Yes, for you. It means Jesus has a place in heaven that he is preparing for you even now. Your spot has been reserved. Your seat is waiting for you, or your mansion, or your room, or whatever you want to call it. But Jesus has a place for you in God's eternal kingdom, and he's getting it ready. And once it's ready, then Jesus says, "I will come again and will take you to myself." It means that he's preparing this place that way he might come and rescue us from this world, to rescue us from our sinful minds, to rescue us from Satan, to rescue us from all of our trouble, whatever it may be. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Or in other words, if we want to receive that place in heaven, if we want Jesus to come and take us to be with him in all goodness and blessedness, there's only one way to do it. It's by walking according to the way. Walking in faith toward God, in faith that Jesus Christ is who he actually says he is, because he is the way to the Father. His death and resurrection opened that way for us. He is the truth of God's word. Every single jot and tittle throughout the entirety of the Holy Scriptures is written about Jesus. He is the very Son of God who lived perfectly in our place. And he is the life. We know that because he died and came back to life, and because he still lives now, that we too will live forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You see, in every single day of our lives, these things should be so evident to us. And yet, what do we do? Well, in that day when we are tempted to sin, we often disregard God's word and we do whatever seems more enjoyable to us in the moment. When trouble befalls us, we start to wonder if Jesus is actually going to follow through with his promises, or if maybe he's just abandoned us to this trouble, to deal with it on our own. When death draws near, we wonder, is there really life after death? Like Thomas, we know. We know the answer to these things because Jesus has told us so clearly. But at the same time, we don't know, because our minds get so easily clouded. This is why it's important for us to cling to the way and the truth and the life. It's why we need to hear God's word on a weekly basis. It's why we need to open the scriptures in our daily devotions every single day of our life so we might receive from him. It is why we long to have the body and blood of Christ. It is why we make the sign of the cross in remembrance of our baptism. It's because these things solidify God's promises in our hearts and in our minds. These things solidify God's word in our hearts and in our minds. And as we do them throughout our entire lifetime, they keep us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And they allow us to say, "Lord, we know. We know who you are. We know your promises. And we trust in you." Much unlike Thomas in John 14. But yet, even as we ponder on these words of Thomas, we can't help but to admit that Thomas actually gets it right in a certain way. He says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." And while certainly his mind is clouded, you know, to be sure, in a certain sense, he is right, because Thomas would never know. In fact, none of us would ever know the extent of where Jesus was going. And that's precisely the point. We endure hardships and struggles, and we get attacked by our three enemies, you know, the world, the devil, and our sinful nature, that are constantly trying to bring us down into despair or to false belief. But while we experience hardship, Jesus has spared us from the greatest hardship of all. You see, all along, Jesus had told his disciples that he would have to suffer. All along, he told his disciples that he would have to be lifted up on the cross. And certainly, while some of them endure their own crucifixion as they die a martyr's death, none of them had to be crucified for the sins of the whole world. None of them would know what it was like to be Jesus in Gethsemane. When he was in such agony and torment over having to take on the entire cup of God's wrath, that his sweat mingled in with the blood and poured off his body. None of them would know what it's like to endure hell as they are forsaken by God, like Jesus was, as he died for your sin and for mine. Nobody will ever know what Jesus endured as he entered into total 100% maximum condemnation and death. It means Thomas knows, and he doesn't know. You and I know, and yet we'll never know. And the most blessed ignorance of all is that we will never know the suffering and condemnation of hell. Because Jesus' death and his cross and his blood and his life again have spared us from knowing it. My friends, Jesus wants you to know today. He wants you to know all of your days. And really, he wants you to know, especially in the day of trouble, that he, and he alone, is the way and the truth and the life. That in him there is forgiveness of sins. That in him there is heaven. May the Lord preserve you safe in the hearing and the study of God's word and keep you for life in heaven. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the prayer of the church. As newborn infants who long for the pure spiritual milk, so let us come before the Lord, seeking his mercy with confidence that his grace will be sufficient for all our needs. Almighty Father, everlasting God, your Son has revealed you to us as a merciful Lord. Give to us your Holy Spirit, that we may believe in him whom you have sent, and do the greater works he has told us we will do in his name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you have promised to build up your church to be a holy priesthood, that your people might offer the spiritual sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving acceptable to you. Bless your church, and bring all congregations back together again. Bless all pastors who proclaim Christ to us. Bless all church workers and those preparing for full-time church work vocations, that your church may be supplied with faithful leaders and servants of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer. Holy God, your power brought all things into being, and still you preserve what you have made. Bless our President, the Congress of these United States, our Governor, and all elected and appointed civil servants, so that they may honor you and your purpose. Establish order and justice, encouraging virtue and protecting all life. Give wisdom and moderation to them in their leadership for the well-being of the nation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O merciful Father, you have compassion upon the sick and those in need, and have promised not to ignore them in their afflictions. Turn back the pandemic across the globe and give us relief. Bless the sick with healing, those who suffer with strength and patience, and the dying with peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, you have established the home and blessed those who show us your love. Bless all mothers and the children in their care. Bless all families and make their homes places of blessing and love, where your word is spoken, forgiveness reigns, and love is displayed. Give us good examples to inspire youth to all that is good and pure, and to seek after these things. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you have given us the wisdom of faith, that through the Spirit we might know your Son to be the way, the truth, and the life. Bless all those who teach and all who learn, that the goal of our knowledge may be to know Christ, and to make him known. Do not let your word be bound, but let it have free course among us. Preserve those in isolation from idleness, and instead let our minds be renewed in scripture and prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Compassionate Father, you are not aloof from the needs of this body and life, and you have called us to love our neighbor in need, and give aid to the poor. Give us courage and faith, that we may not fear sharing the resources you have supplied with those who live in want, especially the widow, the orphan, and the unemployed. Let love be perfected among us to drive out selfish fears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Father, of an eternal mercy, you have raised up witnesses in every age and blessed us with those who endured suffering and even death in faithfulness to Christ. We give you thanks for these faithful saints and martyrs, and we pray you to make us strong when we face the day of test, that at length we may be brought with them into the joy of your presence and the glory of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We praise you, God, for your goodness in hearing the prayers of your people and granting us confidence to approach your throne of mercy. Hear us now in the name of and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Well, I thank you yet again for tuning in to one of our virtual services. The Word of God is still going forward. We are still trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a good and God-pleasing thing. I think with all of you who have tuned in, I am desperately looking forward to May 31st and our joyful celebration together at that time. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We got one more thing to do before we go, and that is our monthly Bible verse. And so if you will please look at your screen, I suppose, at this time, or if you're listening to our audio, take out your bulletin paper there. And our monthly Bible verse for the month of May comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. God's blessings.